Let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this hour. As your servant said, that you will be speaking, Lord. Today, Lord, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart and speak to each and every one of your children. They are present here, Lord. Father, it is the word that you have made this whole world into being. That word, Lord, Father, I am not worthy to stand here and proclaim. But because of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we stand here. Father, I am not worthy, Lord. I know I am not worthy. I am not worthy, but you made me worthy, Lord, to stand here. Father, I pray, Lord, that your hand will be mighty upon your children and mighty upon me, O Lord, this weakling person, that I'll be able to deliver your word. Father, we thank you, Father, for all those who are present. Let your glory cover us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The last my message was in May, on May 9th. So this is a continuation of that message. Continuation of that message. That is part one, and this is part two. So we discussed about the Samaritan story in that particular message. I'll be giving a preamble before we enter into the message. Now we know that the Samaritan story was an answer to a question asked by an expert in law. When we trace back to the context and the contents of that particular parable, we see that it comes from Luke chapter 9 and 10. That was a continuous, systematic way of presenting that Jesus is revealed as Christ and the key and the way and key to the eternal life. So the lawyer asks a question to Jesus, and Jesus asks a counter question, and lawyer answers it correctly in his words, but he mentioned about two laws, and when it came to the second law that he answered, raised another question for him, because in his practical life it was difficult. So what was the second question was, who is my neighbor? Now he throws a question back to Jesus, who is my neighbor, after correctly answering the question. Why? Because he cannot accept a sinner, because he is considered as righteous. He cannot accept a sinner as his neighbor. Jesus says that without completing the second law, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's the importance of the second law. It is equal to the first law, Jesus said. So the lawyer failed, but the question is about us. What about us? Only in Christ we will be able to do. We will detail the second law after the preamble. So in the preamble, when you look at chapter 9, Jesus is the Son of the Living God. That is a revelation by Peter. That was a revelation for Peter. And that is very clearly mentioned in Matthew chapter 16. It is mentioned in chapter 9, 18 also, but it is more clearly mentioned in chapter 16, where he says that it is the foundation of the church. That's the foundation of the church. This revelation is the foundation of the church. And then he goes and explains that it is a key to heaven and to the eternal life. So the eternal life starts there, that it's a key to the eternal life, to the heaven. Then after that, we see in the 9th chapter, the Transfiguration Mount. There also we see that two people are talking to Jesus, and they are Moses and Elijah. And then we saw that, we heard that the sound coming from heaven. That was a terrible sound for Peter, that he recollects the sound. And he says that, and there God says that, "He is my beloved son, hear him," not Elijah and not Moses. They are there, but here, "This is my beloved son, hear him." So we see all those instances in chapter 9, and then we come to chapter 10. In chapter 10, the parable is mentioned. Now in chapter 10, when it comes to 17, Jesus is so happy that he sees all his disciples, 72 disciples going and coming, and they are very happy as they come back, and they say, "Even the spirit is subject to us." But Jesus said something very, very important there. Jesus said, don't rejoice because the spirits are subject to you. Rather, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So that was very important, that our names are written. Our names are written. That is very, very important. So that is eternal life. When you read the verse Luke chapter 10:20,
"Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirit are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven."
Yeah. Then the second verse says that Jesus is thanking God and says that you are hidden. All these means the eternal life is hidden unto wise and prudent, but revealed them unto babes. So here he says that, so this was heard by the 72 disciples and many more sitting over there. One of them was this lawyer. There were so many, so I think that there were more than 100 people there. So he was addressing a crowd of 100. So he says that, when he said that, it is hidden for these wise and prudent. This gave some itching to those people who were the Pharisees and scribes. So, and they were referring these people who are, a majority of them, are sinners. They call them sinners, and Jesus is telling, this is revealed unto them. So this was a real problem for them. Now, the reason for the parable starts from here. Jesus said two important points. The names are written, and these things are hidden from the wise and prudent. So we see these two points are the reason for that parable. The two points that made this lawyer to ask this question is, what did he do? He stood up and he said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So he had a question, because he knew the law. He understood that there are the two laws that he mentioned was right. But for him, how to fulfill this law is a question. Now, in Luke 10:26, and then rest, you read, when we read till 29, in the 29th verse, we read that he wanted to justify himself, and he asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Now, this is the reason for this question. I think you all understood very clearly, because the disciples, they were sitting, were referred as sinners by them. Now, how could this sinner be a friend of a righteous person? It's a reasonable question for a person who doesn't understand the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. So here you see the Through the parable, Jesus gives an appropriate answer to the lawyer, to the lawyer's question, and even to us. Lawyer's question and through this particular parable. So, in all the 9 and 10 chapters, what we read is about Christ alone. Now, Christ is the resurrection, Christ is the eternal life, Christ is the foundation of the church. So, we saw the whole thing, and based on Christ, everything. And Jesus himself says that all the power in this world is given unto me. The Father has given unto me. So he mentions that. Now he understands that without loving the neighbor, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we don't see an answer there that this person accepts, lawyer accepts, no. Because lawyer is asking this question for all of us. It's a question for all of us. So, this certain man, then when you read Luke chapter 10:30, there you read,
a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead.
Yeah, here actually Jesus wants to bring about this certain man is actually a Jewish. He is having a, because he comes from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, he walks down. He travels down and going to Jericho. We know that Jerusalem is a very holy place at that time. And this person was going to Jericho. That is the reason that he fell among the thieves. And he was stripped of his clothing. And he was rich. Here, all these words, rich, clothing, and everything has got a spiritual meaning. So here, spiritual meaning in the sense that that person was not a normal person. But his travel was from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was going down, not going up. When you consider the Samaritan, he goes up from Samaria to Jerusalem. So there are two different things that we see here. So here, we see a man who fell among the thieves, and he was left half dead. Now, Jesus wanted to show through this the Samaritan, when all the priests and the Levites were not able to help, that man from Jerusalem, who had a Jewish heritage, the Samaritan, who is a sinner, came forward. This is what Jesus wanted to show there. Came forward. And the priest and the Levite, they all left. Now the Samaritan had compassion upon the injured. Now here Jesus brings another very important thing also. How can a sinner love a person, whether he is an enemy or whatever? He is an enemy actually. So when you look at that person, he is an enemy. But he had compassion. This again tells us that the compassion, we can have compassion only when you are being loved. Upon you, the compassion of God has poured upon you. That is the reason that if you can forgive a sinner only when you are forgiven. So that is a plain truth, because our nature is so, so bad. I was just thinking all this while I was meditating. My attitude is so bad, but it is only because of God. We thank God for that. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Okay. So then we see the second part. This was a preamble. Now the second part. This is a study that we will be looking at a place where the lawyer struggled to understand who is my neighbor and how you need to consider. Now, in strict terms, if you want the eternal life, you have to put ourselves in each character. You know, when we discuss here, don't think that I am not that certain person. Then when we consider about another character, don't think that I don't belong to that. Whenever you see a character, that you put that character, you be in that character, so that God will talk to you. You understood? Those who understood, say hallelujah. Oh, many of them didn't understand. Many of them. Can you say hallelujah? Did you understand what I said? Did you understand what I said? Yes? Say hallelujah. Still. Thank you. So here you see that the certain man mentioned in the 30th verse is a same kind of a person that he was traveling from a higher place to a lower place. So there he is backsliding. And when you consider about Israel, I am moving from here to Isaiah chapter 1. Because the same, almost the same content is there in Isaiah chapter 1. So we will be looking into, because the same, here there is a certain man who is falling. There in Isaiah, we see Israel as a nation which is falling. So it is a very same thing that you read there. So here we will be comparing Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So there you read there, they have rebelled against God. Now we will go to Isaiah chapter 1. When we examine ourselves strictly, we all fall into the same category. Very same category. That is why I said, don't take out. When we consider a character, don't take ourselves out. I don't belong to this. Then God cannot talk to you. So if you agree that God wants to talk to you, say hallelujah. So, let us examine through this parable. We are there, you see the Israel as a nation rebelling against God. God has done many, many, many things for Israel, but still they are rebelling. Can you read from the second verse onwards?
Isaiah chapter 1 verses 2 onwards. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Even an ox knows its owner, and a donkey recognizes its master's care. But Israel does not know its master. My people don't recognize my care for them. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. For the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment.
Yeah, so here we see that they have rebelled, and then God talks with a very heavy heart. Are you feeling that? God is talking with a very heavy heart. And he says, the ox, because they have rebelled against me, and they are not hearing, they are not understanding my heart. Then he says, the ox knows. You know that animal, the ox? The ox knows the owners. The owner. Owner means owner's heart. The ox knows. You know, when they are being used in plowing, that goes in the right direction, because that ox understands the owner's heart. So you see that heart. And then he says the donkey is considered to be the worthless one who doesn't understand. But the donkey recognizes master's care. But he is comparing ox and donkey to Israel. And he says that, but Israel, they do not know its master. My people don't recognize my care. You know, this is one of the... Then after that, he calls in 2-3 names. One is people of iniquity, then people of evildoers and corruptors. So these words are very, very strong. If you are called with those words, how will you dare to hear that? It is not possible. But God is calling them like that. And then God says, out of his love, he says, how much should I beat them? How should I provoke? Again they will be provoked. All their head is full of sickness, and the whole heart is fainted. From the foot to the soul, even to the head, there is no soundness. All are wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up, or soothed with ointment. Here, God says, this is the situation. Nothing is done to my children. He is crying out of his heart, he shows. He says that it is not even the wounds are not closed. It's all wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. They are not closed or bound up. They are not, even ointment is not put. So this is the situation of that certain man. If you can identify yourself with that certain man, you will be blessed. That certain man and the Israel he compares here is the same. Then after that, this certain man fell among the thieves. How did he fall among the thieves? It was God knows everything. God is sovereign. Nothing goes beyond his capacity. Everything he knows. There is a purpose for everything that happens in our lives. If you believe, say amen.
Amen.
All right. So, now in Psalm 106:43, many times God rescued them. Many times they rescued them. But they were rebellious in their counsel. In their thoughts, they were rebellious. Mean to say that God helped them many, many times. But they did not consider. They did not consider that. In their thoughts, they are rebelling against God. And then you see that God is calling them by some words that iniquity is there rebellion by iniquity, then rebellion by evil doing, and rebellion by corruption. We see three there. And when you look at a rebellion by iniquity, the ox understands the master's heart, and my child is not able to understand. You know, when the children grow, and when you see that they are not under your control, how difficult it will be for you. Only for your parents. You know, you are always scared what they are going to do today. They are away from us. And that is the same thing that God has over here. So here, he says that you don't understand my heart. My heart. So what is the iniquity here? Iniquity is that there are two sons. Jesus asks, the father asks one to go to the field, and then he goes and that particular person says no. And then he goes to the next person and he said, yes, I'll go. But who did know the father's heart? The person who said no. Because he repented. That is what God looks from you and me. So here he says that, look at the things that I have done for you and repent. Look at the things that he has done for each and every one of us. So that is not doing the will of God. In Matthew chapter 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but who does not do the will of my Father in heaven. So that is called iniquity, rebellion by iniquity. Then we go to rebellion, because this is God's words. God is saying rebellion by evil doing. When you read Psalms 106:20,
thus they change their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass.
And here you see they changed. Who changed? Who changed? Who changed? Israelites. Yes, here it's Israelites. But you put ourselves in that position, and you will see that we have changed the image. Thus, they have changed their glory into the image of an ox that eat grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Here, when we think about it, we think about Israel, where Israel made a calf, golden calf, and we think that that is the problem. No, we are all doing that. We are all doing. Now, first priority we give for what? For our children's studies, for our job, and like that. Anything that gets more priority, God is second. God is second. God is not first. Whatever you say, you come on Friday, dance, do this and that, whatever. But when it comes to that point, when your faith is tested, how do you react? That is what God is looking at. God is looking at not at all these kind of things. So that is why rebellion by evil doing. That is what is called rebellion by. When we prioritize our things first, then God. Even on in a day, there are many days that we don't even read or even think about God. That is too bad. I don't know what to say about that. That all depends upon your relationship with God. That two children, they had, one had relationship with the father, the other person did not have the relationship. So it all matters with the relationship. Now the rebellion, third one, rebellion by corruption. Rebellion by corruption, we see that when you read Isaiah chapter 29:13, the Lord says, these people say that they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. So here you see, again, you see that we are corrupting because of our... And God says in the next Isaiah chapter 11 and 12,
what makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I am sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony?
See, when you come to appear before me, who has required of this from your hand to trample my courts? Trample my courts. Probably it might be another version, but it's the same meaning. Yes. So you see that then in the 13th verse, stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offering disgusts me. It's a very, very strong word. Very strong word. If you do anything without prioritizing God, then He says, I am not interested. Why? God needs all these things? Nothing. He doesn't need gold. He doesn't need anything. But if you put from your heart with love, even one coin, God will value that. That has got a value before God. Not because he's wanting any gold. Now, you see that God is having a compassionate heart. He knows that by us, we cannot come out. We cannot come out because he is seeing the fallen state. He sees the fallen state. And then we read there, how many times I have to beat you? God is totally tired of us. And then God decided that that was the divine plan, that God himself will come down to this earth. That is what is mentioned in chapter 9 and in chapter 10. Christ is the Son of the living God, and he is the key to heaven. There is no other key to heaven. So that is why we see, to pull the fallen man, the fallen state, there is only one way, that he has to come by himself. Now, John 3:16, we all know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The reason that Jesus came to this world was only because of us, because of me. When you personalize it, because of me, not because of us, it's because of me. So my testimony, if I am supposed to say my testimony, when all the family did not accept me, I was without strength. I was without strength. I could not face anyone. At that time, Jesus died for me. This is Romans chapter 5:6. Romans chapter 5:6, that he died for me. Then, when I was stamped as a pervert, you know, everyone said that he's gone, he's a gone case. At that point of time, Christ died for me. This is Romans chapter 5:8. And then, when I was an enemy of God, when I tore the scriptures, at that time, God reconciled to him. That is God's love. That is God's righteousness by his death. This is Romans chapter 5:10. So, Jesus saw my low estate. Now, we are in the Samaritan's place. Now, we are after I was in that certain man's place. Now I am in Samaritan's place because God had saved me. That is the reason. Then we see that the Samaritan comes and helps the certain man who is an enemy. How is it possible? Because he was given that freedom out of the sin, that he experienced the love in his heart. So that love, when it was bubbling, you love anyone. Enemy is not a reason. Enemy doesn't stand on the way. So in 1 John 3:16, we read that By this we know love. Because he has laid down his life for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. So this is the basic teaching in that second law. In the second law, that you have to love your neighbor, here John 1 John 3:16, by this we know love. Which love? How God loved us. And because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. You understand? Is it talking to you? It's talking to me. Luke 10:34, Samaritan went to him, went to whom? To the certain person, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. We know oil and wine stands for love. Song of Songs 4:10, we have in the last message also, I have mentioned where it stands for love. So he took love and compassion. He was compassionate with him and he loved him, so that he put oil and wine, and he set him on his animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. We read that, see the extra mile that Samaritan is doing. We only when we come to know God, we can do this extra mile. This extra mile is something that we are going to discuss. We cannot be out of it. Now, Luke 10:35. On the next day when he departed, yes.
On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. This is the promise of our Lord.
This is the promise of our Lord. What? That he will come again and will give you and will reward you. Will reward you. So God is a rewarder. Hebrews chapter 11:5 says that God is a rewarder. You have to believe that God is a rewarder. Now, here you see that certain man experienced the love and care of the Samaritan. Moreover, the Samaritan paid the price of that certain man. He paid the price. He paid the price. That is how Jesus has bought you and me. Now, thank you for that. Amen. You know, when you know that you are being bought by the blood of Jesus, how can you not say, or how can you keep your mouth closed? Is it possible? It is possible. It is possible. That is what we are all doing. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Most of us are sleeping, I believe. Anyhow, okay. So the next is, now we are going to the other character, which is the innkeeper. The Samaritan takes this person to the innkeeper. The innkeeper is the church. We are the church. In the church, who leads the church? The Holy Spirit leads the church. So now the Samaritan brings to the innkeeper, and the innkeeper is the church, which is the Holy Spirit. So in 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You know what all words are being used. You are a chosen generation. Can you say that I am a chosen generation?
I am a chosen generation.
A royal priesthood. a holy nation and His own special people. There is meaning for each words. Do you know that carries meaning? Yes. So we are, by God's grace, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, and a special people, that we may be able to proclaim the praises of Him that called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. It is a marvelous light. Yes. So here, the innkeeper has got a very powerful medicine. You know what is the medicine's name? In the time of antibiotics and all those things, how you can say this? The medicine's name is the Word of God. The Word of God is represented as the power of God. The power of God. God made the whole world by His Word. We know that all the one time when the genome was discovered, DNA, the whole world is made out of the Word. You know, the science is coming after the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God said is coming correct. You know, in Revelation, it is mentioned that there is a time that you cannot buy or sell things without that number. It's already there. But 100 years, 50 years before, it you cannot imagine. The science is coming after the Word of God. So here we see the word of God in Hebrews 11:3. World was framed by the word of God. Then in Hebrews 1:3, He upholds all things by the word of His power. He upholds everything by the word of His power. Then who is this word? John chapter 1:1 says, the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word was God. Say hallelujah. So then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:18 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is, oh my God, it's the power of God. It is the power of God. God made the whole earth by that. Say, it is the power of God. Yes, it is the power of God. So, for us, it is the power of God. Romans 1:16 says, this verse, you have to really put your heads down. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of church, of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation. So, this word is working unto salvation. So, salvation is by the Word of God. The Word of God. So, the Word of God is powerful. It's so powerful. The medicine that is going to be used is this word that will change the attitude, the everything of a person. So, then in the 17th verse, put your head down there. For this, you look here. This is better because amplified version. In KJV and all, it is not right. But in your Tamil, Malayalam, that's correct. In this particular verse. For in a gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed. So in the Word of God, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed. So when you understand the word of God, when you are touched by the Word of God, when you are saved by the Word of God, there is a righteousness of God. What is righteousness of God? Righteousness of God is not simply saying righteousness. No, here in Oman there is a law that you live with. Righteousness of God is the righteousness how you live in that world. So you, when you are here, you are reflecting that character, means that is what it is mentioned. A righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith. So it comes from faith. Then it says that leading to faith, mean to say that you come to know Christ by this faith, you come to know this righteousness, and this righteousness you come to know more and more, because now you are able to love your enemy. Next time you will overcome another thing. So it leads to you to faith to faith. It will lead you to faith to faith. That means the sanctification happens in you by the grace of God. So as it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright, that is mentioned there, and shall live by faith. So here the word works in such a manner that it gives the righteousness, and this righteousness, by the same faith, by this righteousness you lead from faith to faith. That is why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. You understand? Now so now here it says that Isaiah chapter 1:5 says that the whole heart is sick and the whole heart faints. Everything is full of sores. What does this mean to you? Here it talks about the rebellion against God. That means our heart is, we are another king. We don't allow God to be the king. I am a king, and I always dictate my terms. Even if the word of God that we read, I dictate in my way. Is it so boring? Someone I see sleeping. I don't know whether they are closing their eyes or not, but I see someone sleeping. Okay, it's up to them. All right. So this heart is full of what? It's full of self. It's full of self. So we see that the wounds and bruises are not even, the ointment is not put. So now you see 2 Timothy 3:16. When you go to 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. See, you see the Holy Spirit breathing into the word. The word God has breathed, and all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So here the word by the inspiration of God should enter into the heart as a doctrine. It is good for doctrine. What is good for doctrine? The word of God that is inspired by God. That is the word, and that will do what? That is good for doctrine and for reproof. You know, it will scold you, it will correct you, and it will help you to lead a life which is that reflected in heaven, to walk in this earth with that same righteousness. So God helps you. The word of God helps you to do all these things. See the 17th verse. This is the result. The result that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for good work. Thoroughly equipped for good work. Have you experienced that? Say hallelujah. Those who have experienced. Can you raise your hands and say hallelujah? Thank God. I thank God for that. All right. So, see the result. That the man of God may be complete and thoroughly. So, with this word, the inspiration of God, with the doctrine, reproof, correction and instruction in righteousness, this man, the man of God may be complete. This certain person who is dead, half dead, is complete, thoroughly equipped for good work. And for then the sickness is from everywhere. The sickness is rebellion. The sickness, the infection has to be removed. How the infection has to be removed? The infection has to be how it should be pressed. You know, when you read that verse, it's a very painful affair. When you read that, it should be it should be pressed, because the whole thing is full of. So that's a very painful affair, that when the word will scold you, correct you, and we should not feel bad about it, because that's God's work. Maybe from the pulpit you will hear whatever, that's all for your good. So that's a very painful affair. So God, so if you are sick, if you believe that you are sick, and if you want God's help, if you seek God's help, can you lift up your hand? If you feel, you know, everyone is concerned. I'll tell you what. People think that if you're sick, no, I'm not sick. Then, if you want God's help, yes, I want. So these two things makes them doing like this. So if you want God's help, raise your hand. If you are not sick, keep your hand down. Thank you. Thank God. I thank God. I thank God for you all. Because when we accept it, it will be reflecting in your life. God will do in your life. And you will be a blessed one in this world. You will walk as a special person, a special people for Him. So now I want to testify here that, you know, missions is a place that if you close your eyes to it, here you see many people, they hide things, they will not tell you everything. But you go to a missions. I had been to missions in this last two months before. I had gone to 2-3 missions. And in one of the missions, I see that people, they were all addicts to drugs. About 91 people were there. And they were all struggling. They were all crying because they had 21 days stay in that. After that, they cannot, because the second group is coming. The third, every 21 days, there is one group. So when I went there, these people are saying, I'm going. They don't accept me. Some people said, I have some videos, but I can't take the videos, but I'm having the videos. Then one person was telling, I go back and I will fall into my trap. Because my friends, I don't know, I love Jesus, I want to be here. You know, we are running after people here. There are so many people. Whatever you are doing here is nothing. God is not interested in that. If you can close your eyes to such a cry, and if you cannot come and see that, then we cannot be called as the children of God. Missions is so important that you cannot separate. The second, I am talking about the second law. The second law is the one we are not able to comply with. But if you have the heart to do it, God understands. You need to be in the missions. People want you. People want your support. They don't have any problem in coming and saying that I am in such a trouble. I am going to kill myself. I just saw one person last week who was there for about 21 days. Now he came here. Now he is into again the addiction. He is there in the addiction. What can we do for this? This is a call for mission. If you have, without fulfilling the law, you are leaving 50% of the law. Because Jesus made it into two, loving God and loving your neighbor. If you are closing your eyes, you are not adhering to 50% of the Bible. So it's a very serious theme that you need to. Let us all stand up. Let's all stand up. Let's all submit unto God. Let's all submit unto God. Isaiah chapter 6, 8 says, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" This is the very picture of Jesus Christ in the Trinity, that he said, "Here I am, send me." He considers you, your low estate. He looks at you with sympathy. He knows that you cannot without his help. His eyes are on you. Please keep your eyes shut. We are not here to see anything. Let us look unto God. Let us look unto God. God is asking, are you ready for the call? There is a call. Are you ready for the call? If you are ready for the call, God is there to show you. If you are ready for the call. Today, Pastor Dennis talked about it. You know, this is a call. This call should start from small beginning. Father, we thank you, Father, for this time. Father, we pray, Lord, that all these people, Lord, with a heart, you spoke to their hearts. You spoke to my heart. Lord, I am submitting myself to you, Lord. I am submitting to your call. Lord, I am there. Father, the age is not a problem, but I am there for you, Lord. Father, accept me, Lord. Father, I am weak. I can go backward, but your strength will preserve. Father, I pray that each and everyone who has taken a decision, O Lord, Father, help them, O Lord. Touch them, O Lord. Talk to them, O Lord. Let the word go and penetrate. Let the word that is having the spirit of the Lord, let it work in their hearts, O Lord, so that, O Lord, that will be made into a beautiful garden which is meant for us. So that you said that I will come one day, and that day will not be a struggle for us. We will be ready to receive you, O Lord. Father, I submit myself, O Lord. I am not worthy. Father, I am not worthy to give this word. Father, this is your word. You gave it. You love this children, and you have done it. O Lord, Father, you talk to them, O Lord. This is not mine, O Lord. If anyone thinks that it is mine, they are in such foolishness. It is not mine, it is God's. So let God touch you. Let the word of God go penetrate and let it work in you. Let us all submit for a minute. For a minute. If someone has decided that I will complete the second law, you cannot do that, but if you have a mind, can you raise your hand? 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 It's so simple. It's a very simple question. Again, you have time. If you have the mind, raise your hand. Without filling the second law, we cannot fulfill. Let's all submit. Father, 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 Lord, you are seeing those people who have lifted up their hands. Father, talk to their hearts. Father, they are special children for you. They are very special for you. Father, fill their hearts. And there are many special children also here. Fill their hearts also, Lord, Father, as they will also one day, oh Father, they will understand your inner calling. They will understand your mind. Not like the ox and the donkey, they will understand more. Let's give the glory to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Those who have come for the first time, please come to this front side door. Pastor is waiting for you.